www.thebridgecommunity.com. Good morning. Everyone good today? All right, good. Good to hear. We're continuing in That Was Then, This Is Now. This has been our sort of a theme. I mean, when we headed into this, I didn't really have a series in mind. I just thought this would be a good theme to kind of roll with, and it's been good. Just in case you haven't been here either of the last couple of weeks, let me just recap that, where we've been. Last week, we talked about the focus was telling our story, and it was a great morning. A number of people shared their stories of how they first came to be followers of Christ. If you were not here, I would encourage you to go listen to the podcast or through the online on our website, because it was really cool to hear different people's stories sharing about how they first encountered Jesus. And, we looked at this pattern that we have when it comes to that was then, this is now. We heard Paul's story and saw how it played out, and then heard some stories from people within our own community of how it played out in their lives. But the reality is this, like, we had a life before we encountered Jesus, and that was then. Then we encountered Jesus, and things have changed since then. And so this is now. And that is a pattern we can use to tell our story. And it's important we're able to do that, because our key idea for last week was this, that your story is one of the most powerful tools you have in persuading others to follow Jesus. Your story is one of the most powerful tools you have in persuading others to follow Jesus. That was our key idea. Now, that's especially true when they can look at our life and see that change that God has brought about in us, right? When you say, I met Jesus, this is what happened, here's who I once was, and this is who I am now. When they can see that authentic, this is who I am now as a follower of Jesus, that's pretty powerful. See, as time goes by, we're supposed to change. God wants to change us, transform us, make us more into the image of Christ. And so from the week before, our key idea was this: there's supposed to be a notable difference between who we once were and who we are now. Like Paul wrote, we used to be darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. And so he says, so walk in that manner. Walk as children of the light. We need to let go of the old stuff, our old self, the old way of life, because that was then and this is now. Now today, I want to try to bring those two things together, where we first encounter Jesus, and then, what it takes for us to see change in our life that comes about. And so, oftentimes, for me, when I think about how long I've been following Jesus, sometimes I get this unsettled feeling that I should be further along spiritually than where I'm at. Right? Can anyone relate to that? Yeah, because that was then, and I encountered Jesus, and this is now, but boy, sometimes it feels like maybe not much has changed. We look back and see gaps of time in our life where maybe we didn't quite follow him like we should. We didn't pursue him as wholeheartedly as we should. And as a result, maybe we've squandered some opportunity for growth or missed some opportunities for impact with others in our lives. Now, I realize we can't do anything about the past, right? We can't go back and fix that. But here's what I've been thinking about. At some point, each and every one of us will look back to today and at this particular moment or this particular season in our lives and say, that was then. So how do we make sure that the this is now is something greater, right? How do we make sure that a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we will truly be living the kind of life that God wants us to have? We'll have the kind of life God wants us to be. How do we be sure we aren't looking back at today with spiritual regret, thinking only about what could have been, right? Or saying, if only I had. And so that's where we're going to kind of head into this morning. Now, this is not going to be some step-by-step process that I'm going to walk you through, like here's five steps to making sure, et cetera, et cetera. But we're just going to consider one key concept that we can apply to many areas of our lives. And I think that's going to help us be pointed in the right direction. Now, the concept's pretty simple, but like most things in Scripture, even though the concept is simple, it's anything but easy, right? So we're going to dive into this morning. But as we do, let's start with a story. I heard this story this week. I thought it was great. There once was a mine worker. This is not like a joke, by the way, so don't be waiting for the punchline. It's just a story, okay? So there was once this mine worker in Ireland during the Great Potato Famine of 1847. And potatoes are a pretty staple food for them, so when this potato famine hit, the food was pretty scarce. Now, this mine worker would bring his lunch every day to work in his lunch pail, but he would always eat alone. He would find some spot away from all the rest of the people he worked with to have his lunch and kept hidden away from his coworkers when he opened his lunchbox. Now, of course, the other coworkers were really curious as to what's going on. Like, why is he doing this? This is happening day in and day out. And, you know, they didn't want to ask, but their curiosity did one day get the best of them. And so a few of his coworkers went to his lunchbox when he was working, and they opened it up to see what was inside. What they found was a lunchbox full of potato peels. Just peels, not potatoes, just the peels. And the mine worker apparently was giving his children the potatoes for their lunches so that they would have enough to eat, and only taking the peels for himself. Now, as we read this story from, you know, 175 years ago or whatever it is, we could go, well, is that a true story? I don't know. I wasn't there. There's no records of this. But regardless, we've all probably heard stories like this. And at the heart of it is this pretty powerful concept. And it's the key concept we're talking about this morning. And that's this. The key to living the life that God wants for us is sacrifice. Right? It's sacrifice. That story, ultimately, of that mine worker was about sacrifice. And the key to becoming who God wants you to be, the key to living a life that honors Him, the key to making sure we can look back at this moment a few years from now and see how much more we've become, what God has done in us, how we've become like Jesus, the key to all that is sacrifice. Okay, now, Paul writes something pretty powerful about this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And that's the text we're going to be looking at today and focusing in on. And rather than a whole big text or passage, just this one verse, because it's pretty loaded. Okay, so Romans 12, 1, which says this. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, and implying sisters, I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay, let's hear that one again. I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay, so we're going to focus in on that. Let's break this down a little bit so we get a good understanding of what Paul is writing. He says, I appeal to you by the mercies of God. Right, that's kind of his first phrase here. I appeal to you by the mercies of God. Now, when he talks about mercies, he's talking about God's compassion, his grace, and his favor that he has on us. It's God's pity for us as sinners. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves as pitiful people or people to be pitied, but when it comes to our sin and how we fall short of God, that's exactly what Paul's referring to here. God takes pity on us. So remember what God did for you? You know, we just talked about our stories last week. Remember what God did for you? Remember how you came to know Jesus, to encounter Jesus? Remember how you were given a gift that you didn't deserve? Remember how Jesus gave his life for you on a cross to make a way for you to be made right with God? Remember how what Jesus did took you who were dead in your trespasses and sin but made you alive in Christ? Remember how you were in need of forgiveness from your sin and God took pity on you? Right, Paul says, on that very basis, that's what I'm appealing to you by. Okay? That very mercy that God has shown you should lead you to do this. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, Jewish people, of course, would have understood the concept of sacrifice pretty well. An altar would be built And there was something that would be sacrificed on that altar, be placed on the altar, burned as an offering to God. Seems a little strange to us these days, but it was what God asked for, right? There were sacrifices that were made that included sacrificing bulls or goats or lambs or doves or pigeons or rams, right? These types of sacrifices. In some instances, there would be grain that was poured out on the altar and burned. In some cases, they would even pour wine on the altar and it would be burned. But the animal sacrifices were the most common, probably the thing that would come to mind right off the bat. And they were instructed to do these sacrifices for various reasons. They were done to seek forgiveness from God, to ask forgiveness, for making peace with God, for giving thanks, and for expressing devotion to Him. Some sacrifices were mandatory. God said, you need to do this at a certain time, in a certain way, in a certain place. Other times, they were voluntary. Okay? Now, if you were making a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice to God, He expected that animal to be the best of the best. Okay? It was to be without defect, without blemish, without spot. It had to be of the highest quality, as perfect as possible. Now, the reason is because it ultimately would reflect what Jesus was. Okay? But an animal like that would be really valuable, wouldn't it? One of the most perfect animals that you could give would be really valuable. Now, I want to bring this into modern times. Not that horses were one of the animals that were sacrificed or mentioned as sacrificed here, but think about this in modern terms. Here's a picture of American Pharoah, right? Racehorse, won the Triple Crown recently, hadn't been done in a long time. Incredible animal, right? He is retired from racing now, but because of his success, he is incredibly valuable for breeding. In fact, I read this online, true story. Well, if the online was correct, it's a true story. But it was from an animal breeding website, so I think it's legit, okay? So American Pharoah has been bred with more than 200 mares in about a third of a year. Okay, about a third of a year. Which means, first of all, he's got to be one really happy horse. Just saying. In fact, his owner said that. Like, I'm thrilled, and he's happy. I'm happy because he's happy. All right, it was this weird quote, like, okay, we get what you're getting at. Now, here's the thing. His owners earn $200,000 per live foal that is born. And there's an 85% success rate in this. So that means over a six-month period, if you do the math, that horse will yield about $35 million. $35 million over a six-month period. And American Pharoah is actually the second highest paid stud. There's another horse named Tappet, picture here, which you just kind of look and go, man, beautiful horse, right? Beautiful horse. His owners make $300,000 per live foal. And that's the highest priced breeding horse that there is. Now, horse racing is a lucrative business if you have a great horse, right? And these are incredible horses. These horses earn so much because they are the best of the best. Now imagine taking these horses and offering them as a sacrifice to God. All that potential, all that greatness, all that beauty, all that income, and they just kill it. Now, to most people, including some of us today, we're trying to wrap our mind around this, that seems like a waste of an amazing horse. It almost doesn't even make sense. But you know what a sacrifice is really about? Definition, one of the definitions of a sacrifice is giving up something valued for the sake of something greater. Giving up something valued for the sake of something greater. Yeah, those prized horses are pretty valuable, right? American Pharoah won three of the biggest horse races on the planet. It's really tough to do. He will earn hundreds of millions of dollars, most likely, for his owners. Plus, they get all the notoriety, all the prestige that comes with it. That's a pretty valuable horse. What purpose could possibly be greater purpose than that? Or let's translate that question into the Old Testament times. If you had the most valuable cattle or goats or rams or birds or lambs or grain or wine, what possible purpose would be greater than to reap the benefits that came from them? What could possibly be greater than that? Giving it to the Lord. That's what the scripture says. He's the something greater the sacrifice was made for. Okay. What could be more worthwhile of a cause than to sacrifice the best of what we have to find forgiveness and peace with the God of the universe? What could be more worthwhile purpose than to give thanks to Him and express our love, our devotion, our affection to God because He loves us? Right? There is nothing greater than Him. So that's what these sacrifices would be made for. Now, it seems crazy. It maybe seems out of whack, but here's one thing that we need to remember. No sacrifice, no matter its value or worth, is too good for God. Right? No sacrifice, regardless of its value or worth, is too good for God. Because God deserves our very best. Our very best of what? Well, our very best of everything. Plain and simple. Now, fortunately, we are not in these Old Testament times. We don't have to offer animal sacrifices for sin anymore. Jesus was the final sacrifice that was made. He was the perfect sacrifice that God provided for us to make us right with Him. But even though we don't have to make animal sacrifices anymore, Paul says, I appeal to you by the mercy that God has shown you in Jesus to do what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Right? Your bodies as a living sacrifice. We're to take our very bodies, our outward physical activity, every outward physical activity that we can engage in, and give it to the Lord. Okay, that means everything I do, this is tough even saying this, thinking about the implications. Everything I do, everything I say, everything I eat or drink, every possible activity that my physical body can engage in should be presented to the Lord as a living sacrifice. That's what it means for us. Now, yes, that seems like a lot to ask. But remember, no sacrifice is too good for God. But here's the second thing. If it's not valuable to you, it's not much of a sacrifice. Right? If it's not valuable to you, then it's not much of a sacrifice. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's not really a sacrifice at all. Sure, your life, your body, your time, everything is valuable, but you are giving it to something greater. You're giving it to the Lord. Okay, so present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, Paul says we also need to be a living sacrifice which is holy and acceptable to God. That's the next part of that verse. Holy and acceptable to God. Now again, these offerings had to be the best of the best. God wants us to be a holy and acceptable offering to Him. Being holy means we're set apart and dedicated for His purposes. And being acceptable to Him means we're clean in Christ and righteous through Christ. And we're walking as we ought to as children of light, holy and acceptable. It's interesting because in the prophet Malachi, he actually speaks words of God speaking to the people about offerings that they were giving to Him. And God was angry at them for offering sacrifices that were sick and defective animals, like their leftovers, giving that way. Sacrificing that way. He tells them they were robbing the temple by not giving generously. Like, God calls them out on this. And the point is this, we don't just give God whatever we want. We're to give Him what He wants from us. Okay? We are to be a holy and acceptable sacrifice to Him. Live our lives as holy and acceptable sacrifices to Him. And Paul says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Which is your spiritual worship, he says. So you want to worship God? Be a living sacrifice. That's what Paul says. Put your body on the altar. Let it be dedicated to something, or in reality, someone greater, to Jesus. That's how you can worship God. All right, so the key to living the life that God wants is sacrifice, which means giving up what we value for something greater. Now, you might be thinking, okay, I'm with you, I'm following you, but where do I start? Where do I go with this? Well, I want to just suggest to you this morning and remind us of some things that can be helpful in this regard. How about starting with the six areas of belongment that we often talk about here? When it comes to sacrifice, how about these areas of belongment? Belongment is this term, if you haven't been familiar with it, we've put together belonging and commitment. It's about experiencing belonging, but expressing commitment here at Portico. But there's six areas, and they're on the tile board back there. But you also got tiles as you came in. And you can just take a look at those. You don't need to take them out. But, you know, there's six different tiles. And what if we thought about these areas of our life and thought, is this an area that I'm called to sacrifice in? Okay? So for instance, the clear or brown tile is worship. And that's about making it a priority to gather each week for worship. What if our sacrifice started there? Maybe that's a big sacrifice for some of us, making sure that we sacrifice time in our schedule to make sure we're taking time to gather for worship. The blue tile is about connection, right? The blue tile is about connection. Yes, about connection to God, but also to gather for connection with other believers who can help us grow in our relationship with Him and spur us on. So that means we may need to sacrifice or let go of our insecurities. Maybe stepping out of a comfort zone and getting connected spiritually with others. Right? There's a red tile, which represents serving. Right? Are we willing to sacrifice by giving significantly of our time and our talents for God's purposes? The green tile represents generosity. Right? Sacrificing of your finances by giving generously towards God's purposes in the church and in the world. The purple tile is about conversations. Will we sacrifice by engaging with someone in a spiritual conversation, especially those who don't know Jesus, being courageous in telling others about the good news about Him? Or the yellow or orange tile, which is about invitations, right? Invitations. Sacrificing by inviting other people to join you for worship where they can experience God or to come to a community building event. All right, so these are six areas we talk about all the time here. And so as we give this idea, this general principle about sacrifice, we could maybe start by looking in those areas of our life. Where is God calling me to sacrifice there? Now, these are six areas we can focus in on. The explanations or the explanation of why we do this is in your bulletins, and you may look at these tiles an hour from now and go, what was that color? It's in your bulletin. Just take a look there. There's color coding and everything. But listen, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm just going to ask you to take this home with you, this bag that you got this morning of these tiles. Take it home with you. And over the next month or so, think about how is God calling me to make sacrifices in these areas? Right? Maybe you'll find it happen like this. Maybe it'll be some weekend that you're just kicking around like, I'm just going to skip out on church this week. I don't want to go. I'm tired. I'm whatever. And you decide, you know what? No. I'm making the sacrifice to go and making the decision to go and worship God because that's what He wants for me to do. So I'm going to gather for worship. Maybe it will be in generosity, you know, where your money's been going in a lot of different directions, but you really haven't been giving generously towards His purposes, and you make a sacrifice and say, I'm going to make that a priority. Maybe it's in that conversation or invitation to somebody else where you know you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to, you know, fear the uncertainty, the comfort that is holding you back. You're going to have to say, God, okay, I will do this for you. And no matter what that cost is going to be. Okay, so these are some ways you can consider, you know, fleshing this out in your life, this idea of sacrifice. But moving on from that, each sacrifice that we make for Him is going to keep us moving in the direction He wants for us in life. Now, I'm going to say this. Some of you are thinking it, probably. Maybe some of you need to hear it. You don't have to do any of these things to be saved. Okay? You don't have to do any of these things to be saved. But that doesn't mean we don't have to do anything. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. You can't earn your salvation. That is very clear in Scripture. Salvation comes through faith in Christ, who had compassion on us and gave us his mercy. But where do we start today? Paul says that same mercy, the mercies of God, he's appealing to us on that basis, should lead us to sacrifice. It should lead us to sacrifice. I appeal to you by the mercies of God in response for what he's done for you to present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Because when you come to know the significance of what Jesus has done in your life, like the stories we told last week, then no sacrifice he asked for us to make is more than what he deserves. Right? Let that mercy that God has shown you be your motivation. And that's what Paul's getting at here. Now, last thought or two as we're closing. And the first of the two is this. Sacrifice is actually supposed to be normal for us. As followers of Jesus, sacrifice is supposed to be normal for us. Jesus said, look, if anyone wants to come after me, he has to deny himself, take up their cross, and follow me. That's about sacrifice, right? Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it in the end. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, for Jesus' sake, and for the sake of the gospel, will save it. Again, it's about sacrifice. If you want to win in the end in this game here of life, then sacrifice is the key. God wants us to move from a life that's selfish to one that is selfless. He wants us to go from being self-centered to one that is being self-sacrificing. Selfishness, that was then. But this is now. Sacrifice. That's what he wants for us, from us. Okay? So, and one more cool thing about sacrifice, and then we'll close our time with some more songs of worship. And this was just a hindsight. Remember the story we started with in the beginning of the day about the mine worker who gave his children the potatoes for lunch, only taking the peels so they'd have enough to eat? It's interesting because science has revealed to us that the peels of the potato are actually the most nutritious part. Okay? But nobody would have known that 175 years ago. They probably wouldn't have guessed it, right? So ironically, his self-sacrifice had hidden benefits that he never even realized he was receiving. Now let's think about that in terms of our walk with Christ. When we sacrifice for his sake, we have benefits that we don't even realize we are receiving oftentimes. Jesus taught we should give and it will be given to you. Right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Right? Luke 6:38. Oftentimes our sacrifices result in unexpected blessings. God is so good that way. Right? It's pretty cool when that happens. Now, maybe it's a spiritual blessing that he pours out to you. Maybe it's that you see someone you love take a step toward Christ. Maybe it's noticeable growth you see in areas of your life that you've been struggling with. Now, we shouldn't sacrifice just for the sake of the blessing. Well, let's see. If I give up this, then here's what I gain in return. That's not the point. We do it because of the mercies of God. That's what Paul appeals to us on behalf of. I appeal to you by the mercies of God. But it should help us to know that anything we sacrifice for his sake and for the sake of the gospel, it's not going to be wasted, right? It's not going to be wasted. And one day we are going to be blessed beyond what we ever could have imagined. Either in this life, we may experience it, but for sure we'll experience that in eternity. So the key to living the life God wants for you, sacrifice. Be a living sacrifice. Give your life, which is incredibly valuable, but be willing to give that up for something greater. That is how we can worship God. We're going to close in prayer and a few more songs if the team wants to come up. That would be great. Heavenly Father, we are first and foremost incredibly grateful for the sacrifice that you have given to us, that Jesus was the greatest sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Because he paid a price we couldn't pay. He did something no one else could. He was the perfect sacrifice. And because of him, we can be made right with you. We are so grateful for that. And because of that mercy you've shown us, we ask for you to give us the strength to sacrifice in a similar way. That because of the great mercy you've given, that we would present our bodies, our very lives, to you as living sacrifices. And not just any sacrifice, but one that is holy and acceptable. And that as we do that, we would do it in worship of you because you are an incredible God and you so much deserve this. Lord God, as we go from this place and think about sacrifice in our own lives, help us to see where maybe you need us to take a step. Maybe it's in one of these six areas we talked about. Maybe it's something completely outside of that. But help us to take that step, to be willing to give of ourselves what is very valuable to us for the purpose of something greater, which is you, knowing you are worth it. We're grateful for your love. We're grateful for all that you've done for us. And we turn our hearts back to you in response and worship you in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.